Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning on this day, Thursday, January 30th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. We're almost out of January. The long, drawn-out process that has been January, as it always is at the top of the year, the second to last day of the month, and your Sixers are on a four-game winning streak. So how about that? Appreciate you starting your day with me, your man, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. We're keeping it locked because the season is ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, people. We are on one of those peaks, right? One of those ebbs. So it's right now a good moment at the season for the Sixers. And that's why you keep it locked, because you never know when the season could all of a sudden turn around and start to look upwards and look brighter. That's where the Sixers are right now after beating the Kings last night at a very good win, 117-104 at the Wells Fargo Center. I'll break that game down in just a little bit, but you know how we do with the daily pods. I'll set the agenda. We'll go through the schedule, some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans, some injury news, regular news, and then on the other side of the break, I get into my analysis. Three takeaways from the win last night. Some of them will be over the course of these four games that the Sixers have won, but especially last night against the Kings. The Sixers now only have two games remaining on the schedule for this week. Let's get into the schedule. It's been a busy week, man. We've already had a lot of games this week, and it doesn't get kind of any lighter for the Sixers. And they spin back around tomorrow and play the Nuggets at 7:30 tomorrow night. Still at the Wells Fargo Center. That's a good thing. That is the good thing, I should say, about this condensed schedule, is that we're in the midst of a six-game home stretch right now. That was game two last night against the Kings. Tomorrow will be game three. So it started with the Lakers, went to the Kings, and now we have the Nuggets tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Wells Fargo Center for your Friday night viewing. Friday night at the Fargo, as I like to call it. Sixers go for their fifth straight win as Jokic and company, the team that just thumped the Sixers in Mile High in Denver, put up 144 in regulation on them, just beat them in Denver. Sixers will try to avenge that loss tomorrow night at the Wells Fargo Center. Like I said, 0-1 against the Nuggets this season. No, we will still not get the MVP center matchup of Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. He's already been ruled out for the Friday night game against the Nuggets, and he will be reevaluated hopefully at the end of this week. Timetable is a little unclear about when he will be reevaluated, either today, tomorrow, or sometime at the end of this week. Joel Embiid will be reevaluated to be given a timetable for his return, but we should not expect it to be tomorrow night against the Nuggets and against Jokic. If it is, We all jump for joy and we get the matchup we all wait for and anticipate for. But I don't want any of us to get our hopes up for that to happen. Tomorrow night, 7:30, Sixers take on the Nuggets. Let's get to some scores around the league, some teams we should pay attention to as Sixers fans. I'm not going to break down the Nets win against the Hornets, even though the Nets are right behind the Sixers for that 11th spot in the East. With the win, I'm looking above us and looking forward. As the Pistons take down the Pistons lose to the Pacers, I should say, in Indiana, 133-119. Everybody in Detroit, including Isaiah Stewart, is mad again and pissed off. Isaiah Stewart seeming to get in the face of Pascal Siakam and almost mocking him and almost went vintage Isaiah Stewart last night. But it was not enough for the Pistons to get the win over the Pacers. Speaking of Pascal Siakam, I can see why he was making Isaiah Stewart mad. 37.6 rebounds and 4 assists for Pascal Siakam, plus 32 in the box score, right? 4 out of 5 starters in double figures. Aaron Nesmith put up a donut, a goose egg, while everybody else put up 37, 24, 30, and 12 around him in the starting lineup. So Pacers didn't need much from him. TJ McConnell also comes off the bench, gives them 14 points. So Indiana gets a good home win, 133-119. Cade Cunningham did his part, 32 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, 14 points, 10 assists for Jalen Duren. 10 assists, not 10 rebounds for Jalen Duren. 10 assists coming out of that center spot. Good job for him. Malik Beasley, 20 points off the bench. The Pacers get their 26th win of the season, 13th win at home. It was a good win for them. Boston got back in the winning column at home. Was their first win at home in 6 tries. They were 0-6 in the last 6 games at home. They beat the Bulls 122-100 in Boston, getting a good win. It was KP, Kristaps Porzingis, the leading scorer for the Celtics, which we haven't said many times this season. Right? That's not his calling card for the Celtics. Asked to be their leading scorer, but can do it all on a night, on any given night. 34 points, 11 rebounds for KP. 28 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds for Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum, a quiet game, 16 points, 5 assists, and 8 rebounds. But they got enough of what they needed. And now the Bulls, with every win and every loss kind of fluctuates with where you think the Bulls should go, right? Now they're starting to slide a little bit, 20-28, and it's starting to look like they should blow this thing up one more time. Nick Vooch has some very high trade value right now. You got guys you can build around like Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu. Lonzo Ball has a lot of trade value and can even be, you know, seen in the buyout market. So we'll see what the Chicago Bulls do. But Nick Vooch wasn't his best game. 6 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. Lonzo Ball, 9 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists for him. But we will see what the Chicago Bulls do. And if they try to stay Packers, you can try to stay in the play-in if you're Chicago, right? And keep yourself in mediocrity, right? And you don't have a good draft pick and you're not really that far in the playoffs. So we'll see what Chicago decides to do. But they lose to Boston 122-100 up in Boston. Let's see, the Knicks held serve in New York, beat the Nuggets 122-112 before the Nuggets come down to Philly and play the Sixers. It was a good game, kind of all around, all 5 starters in double figures for the Knicks. 30 points, 15 assists for Jalen Brunson. Karl-Anthony Towns just 14 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Got his double-double, but it was slight. Not much. He had a great defensive play at the end to help seal the victory for the Knicks. A good pin-down block at the end. OG Anunoby pointed 23 points for himself as well. Jamal Murray was the leading scorer for the Nuggets, 33 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. He starts to look a little bit better and a little bit better as the season goes on. It seems like the Nuggets are still in the hunt for maybe a point guard, another guard to go with Russ, maybe to put Russ back on the bench or even to get him a backup point guard to help distribute and see what the Nuggets can do. But everyone thinks the Nuggets are just one move away from getting back into, you know, title contention as they were a couple of seasons ago, winning the title. But the Knicks get the good win over them, 122-112. Let's take a look at the full Eastern Conference standings after yesterday, because the Sixers, all of a sudden, you blink, right? And we are now just behind the Chicago Bulls for that 10th and final play-in spot. Both the Bulls and the Sixers have the same amount of games back to get, you know, to move up in the Eastern Conference standings. But the Chicago Bulls do have one more win in the win column than the Sixers do. Sixers have one less loss, but the Bulls have one more win. So both 18 and a half games back. But the Bulls hold that serve just in the win column over the Sixers. So tied right now for the Bulls. Still four games back from the Miami Heat for that seventh and first play-in spot. And also four games back of the Orlando Magic for that sixth and final playoff spot. So all of a sudden, right, when I was talking to you guys last week, when those games were eight games back, eight and a half games back. Now, all of a sudden, they're just four games back of that spot. Right? Now, all of a sudden, you win tomorrow night and the Bulls lose, you're in the play-in spot. It's crazy how quickly the season can turn when you string a couple of wins together. Right? See what happens when you win four in a row? You go on a win streak and all of a sudden you start to climb up the Eastern Conference, start to make headway in the Eastern Conference. So the Sixers have to continue their winning ways, continue and to hope that teams like the Bulls and the Hawks and the Pistons kind of regress to the mean, right? Kind of come back down to earth as they should. Because now all of a sudden you look up and if the Sixers continue to win, you know, there's no reason why in your mind they can't be the 7-8 seed, you know, come playoff time, win one time to get themselves into a playoff scenario. But one step at a time, can't think too much, right? The Sixers right now still in that 11th spot looking to get to that 10th spot very soon. There are no real injury updates, no news to go on after the Sixers win last night against the Kings. We will await to see what happens today, you know, on the day off or if they practice and if there are, you know, if there's news that comes out of there. For now, let's get right to these three takeaways last night from the win against the Kings. A good win last night. The Sixers get one, 117-104 in the Wells Fargo Center last night. So first off, the first takeaway that I have is everyone was kind of worried or wondering how the back-to-back was going to affect the Sixers. The Kings coming off two games in 3 days, but not a back-to-back like the Sixers. So they were wondering how fatigue was gonna hit them. And it looked like in both starts to both halves, the start of the first half and start of the third, or start of the second half, I should say, start of the third quarter, it looked like fatigue was hitting the Sixers. The Kings looked like they were a step ahead, and the Sixers had to battle back both of those times to close a gap, to go into the next frame, and ultimately get themselves a victory. They did a good job of that in both halves, right? That was my first takeaway, is kind of the battling back the Sixers had to do in the first quarter and in the third quarter. Both of those quarters, the Kings came out on a big run. I believe it was a very similar run. I believe they started the game 14-3, and then I believe, you know, it was also a start to the third quarter, a 14-3 start to the third quarter. So it was 11-3 start to the game, right? And then they started the third quarter on a 14-3 run, right? So both halves started very similarly. Both caused a quick and early timeout by Nick Nurse. You could see and feel nervousness in the building kind of rise in the Wells Fargo Center. And all of a sudden, the Sixers came out of both of those timeouts, flipped the game on their head, and they were able to get back into the ball game. Both of those times when the Kings jumped out to those early spurts, Sixers were turning the ball over and allowing the Kings just to get whatever they wanted in transition. That's what those timeouts were, you know, to solve for Nick Nurse. That's why Nick Nurse called those timeouts. One, got to stop turning the ball over, right? Let's be stronger with the ball, be smarter with the ball, and we can't allow the Kings to get whatever they want in transition, right? That's when the Kings are at their best, to be honest. That's when they were at their best last year, and when they were getting very good the year before is when they were getting out and running and, you know, getting themselves easy layups in transition. They were starting to do that in both halves last night against the Sixers, and the Sixers, you know, had to really, you know, batten down the hatches, tighten up, and get themselves back into the ball game. They did a very good job in both of those halves. So my first takeaway is on a night where you're coming on a back-to-back, right? Second game in just as many nights, it's very easy to watch a team run up and down the floor and say, hey, man, you know, they got their legs under us more than we do tonight. Sixers didn't allow that to happen. They battled back and got themselves back into the ballgame. Very good job. My second takeaway from last night is the group effort the Sixers got, right? I know Tyrese Maxey had his 30 and he had a good game, right? I actually liked, you know, the game Tyrese Maxey had. But there were points last night where Maxey wasn't scoring the ball. Maxey wasn't, you know, the ultimate kind of dominant and igniting force that we know him to be. There were times where, you know, he relied on his teammates. He relied on people to score the ball and to give him some help. And did his teammates ever? First of all, Eric Gordon, lightning in a bottle. That's what Eric Gordon is, right? Eric Gordon is either scoring you 14 to 15 points, knocking down five threes, or he's not giving you much. Last night, he knocked down five threes and gave you 14 points, right? He was very good. Knocked down, sorry, three threes, five total shots, and gave you 14 points. Very good in the starting lineup. Just a very good, you know, kick out three option, catch and shoot option. He's always ready to go. Kelly Oubre did Kelly Oubre things last night. 15 points, knocked down a three himself, six rebounds, three assists. Then you have Kyle Lowry coming off the bench, giving you 13 points and a couple of big buckets. Kyle Lowry also played the final, 13, 14 minutes down the stretch of the game last night. Kyle Lowry closed out the game. Not something we're used to seeing, right? Kyle Lowry giving you all of a sudden 26 minutes, but that's what vets are there for, right? We are a thinned man lineup right now, missing about half of our rotational players. There's a reason why Pete Nance and Adem Boner are seeing so much time. Right. So if you're Kyle Lowry, there are times like this where you got to be ready, you know, to lace them up and play 26 minutes on any given night and be ready to produce. That's what veterans do. That's what good veteran guards do. Great job for Kyle Lowry. Ricky Council also came off the bench, gave 13. That's a very good sign for Ricky Council, too, who at the beginning of this week or end of last week was in the G League, right? Was sent down for a game. Not really sure why, but didn't seem to hurt his confidence at all. He went down there, scored 29, looked really good, and came back and seems to, you know, have smoothed out whatever they sent him down for. Whatever he was sent for assignment for seems to be at least fixed or getting better because he came right back up, was a plus 28 in the box score last night, 13 points, a highlight dunk. He got people saying he should go to the dunk contest, so a very good job by the supporting cast last night. When your star, after coming off a 40 ball against the Lakers, might be a little tired, right? Legs might be a little heavy. So that's when the supporting cast comes around and helps them out, right? And by the way, when you do that, I can still give you 30 when you help me out, y'all. Right? That's the irony, is if you don't get 14 from Eric Gordon, 15 from Kelly Oubre, 13 from Ricky Council, 13 from Kyle Lowry, you probably don't get 30 from Maxey. The lane's not open enough, right? We're not closing out on help shooters now because other people aren't making shots. But other people are making shots, I can go get y'all 30 now. So good job to the supporting cast. My final takeaway, speaking of the supporting cast, I told y'all that one of my takeaways might be over the course of this four-game win streak, and it's my final takeaway, not just the supporting cast, but very specifically and in particular, I have to give praise and have to give shine to Gorshon Yabusele and Adem Boner, right? The bigs in this stretch. We've played all of these games without Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond. Not only our top two big men and rebounders, two of the top rebounders in the NBA. And we have a four-game win streak. And if you look at the win streak and the teams we've beaten, elite big men in all four, right? Nick Vujic being the least of which. So maybe we can leave him out of the elite category. But against the Cavs, you got to beat Jared Allen. I know it wasn't Evan Mobley, right? But Adembona and Gorshon Yabusele still had to deal with Jared Allen, who gets hollered at to be an all-star multiple times, right? Then you go to Lakers and play Anthony Davis. Again, Anthony Davis got hurt, but you had to battle Anthony Davis, right? And for what it's worth, in the battle, Anthony Davis went out hurt, and Adembona and Gorshon Yabusele stayed in and were able to battle. Right? Then you play the Kings, Domantas Sabonis, who almost had a triple-double, right? But didn't have his stamps all over the game. Gorshon Yabusele, 7 rebounds. Adembona, 6 rebounds. Able, you know, to collectively get the job done. And then the Bulls against Nick Vooch, you outdo him too. So, without those two guys holding down the fort, things would look a lot different, right? You have so many people kind of worried about how will the Sixers look in the interior? How will they defend? How will they rebound? And you don't hear a lot of those worries being screamed to the Raptors, right? They out-rebounded the Cavs, 43-39. They out-rebounded the Lakers, 43-39 as well. So Adembona and Yabu, especially the two big men in the interior holding it down. I appreciate you. Keep holding it down because reinforcements are on the way soon. And if we are playing like this without our top two big men, can only assume we will play well with our top two big men back in the lineup. That's all I have for today. Appreciate you starting your day with me. We have one more game. I have two more games this week. The Sixers go and take on the Nuggets tomorrow night at home. I will be back tomorrow morning to preview that game and that matchup. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.